We're excited. Of course, coming up, the Festival of Hope, September 20th through the 23rd. And we're excited about what God's going to do. And we had a pre-crusade Festival of Hope banquet this past Monday night. We had a great night. And God just showed up and showed out, and just a blessing. And we're looking forward. Next Sunday, we are having, we need lots of volunteers. We're going to have lots of folks. We've got to have lots of volunteers. So what do we need? We need people who will help set up. We need folks who will help with decision counseling there when the invitation's done. We need people that will help with parking, and people that help with transportation, and folks that will help with publicity, and the mass choir. What does that mean? Well, here's what happened. We got Jawan and Melody DeVoe going to lead out every night. Now, some of y'all know them. They're part of Casting Crowns, and they're going to be leading out. But here's the thing. You all, because you're a participating church, can be part of that mass praise team. So here's the great thing about that. Some of you that are a little bit older, 10 years from now, when you're talking to your grandchildren, you can say, hey, you know, there was a week I sung with Casting Crowns. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a good thing. So we got that going on. We got needing ushers, follow-up, you know, all those kind of things. We need first aid, responders, nurses, security. Those are the kind of things we need. If you go to the website, it's Festival of Hope, N-E-G-A. There's no periods in there, but Festival of Hope, N-E-G-A.com. That's Northeast Georgia. There's a place for you to sign up. And listen, I believe God's going to do some great things, you know. I really do. And I think, you know, it's so important to think. I want you to open your Bibles today to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to be at today. We're going to begin at verse 2 and read down through about verse number 7. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God together this morning, and that'll give you a little break. Steve told me I could preach 2 hours this morning since it's homecoming, but I'm not going to do that. All right, I just thought I'd tell you that. So we're so glad, again, to be here. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with you, as with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you today, Lord, and we're so thankful for your love and your grace and your goodness, God. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will move mightily in this place, Father. I pray, God, that if there's somebody here that doesn't know your Son Jesus as a Savior, they've never had that peace that only you can give them in their heart, God. I pray that today will be the day that they'll come to know you and your grace and your love, Father. And Lord, I pray also, Lord, I know there are people here that have prayers and difficulties they may be dealing with. And God, you know every single heart that walked in. I pray that you'll speak to their lives, speak to their hearts. And Lord, you'll make a way that for your will to be done in their life, God. And I just pray that you'd be glorified. Thank you for all your love again. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Here we are today, and we're starting out here in the book of Joshua. Now, here's the thing. Joshua is a historically accurate book. Now, you know, it's funny. I just saw just a couple of weeks ago, and it was talking about something else they had found that proved historians wrong and proved the Bible right. I thought, well, you know, that's just going on, isn't it? That's the way it is, because the Bible is the truth. And I think about that because it's historically accurate, but as you look in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that in the Old Testament, that it's a picture for us as Christians today to see how God works in our relationships and how God is dealing with mankind. And so it's not just a history book that we're talking about. It's a book, you know, that talks to us about how they found victory and how we can find victory in our lives. Now, you know the story beforehand. Many of you have been in churches. Some of you don't know. When I started going to church, I didn't know. I was about a teenager. I didn't know nothing about it. But I tell you what I realized is that you many know the story that the children of Israel had been in captivity and slavery for 400 plus years there in Egypt. And how God supernaturally moved in the lives of the Egyptians and in the lives of the children of Israel and brought those children of Israel out of Egypt and out of slavery. And it's an amazing thing. And you know, but then you also that have been here, you know what the rest of the story is. The rest of the story, they get to the very edge of the promised land. They get to the very edge of having God's best in their life. They get to the very edge of having true victory in all their lives. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? They stop. It's interesting because that's where we're starting is 40 years later. But I think about it because I mentioned this the other night. But a few weeks ago, I was preaching and filling in on Wednesday night. And this came up. And all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of showed me, convicted me. And I never had thought of it this way. You know, because, listen, when I always talked about the children of Israel being delivered out of slavery and being taken right to the edge of the promised land, here's what I thought. They're a bunch of idiots. How can you be so stupid? You've seen God work so many miracles. You've seen God work in such a mighty way. But you know, the other day I was thinking, as I was preaching, actually, it wasn't really like it just came over me with the Lord. And you know, certainly, you know, there's always been idiots. Amen. I mean, we know that, right? But here's the thing. I got to thinking, you know, really, what happened? I mean, 10 people turned to hearts of a million plus. 10 people who said no. 10 people who said, I don't know if we can do this. You know, it's going to be hard. You know, there's giants over there. There's walled cities. And why did they say that? Listen, I tell you why. They'd gotten complacent. You know, we can get complacent in miserable circumstances. You know, I mean, here they were. They'd seen all these miracles. They'd seen what God could do. But listen, they were still living. God was still providing. God was still taking care of them. So, you know, if we go into the promised land, is it going to get better or is it going to get worse? I mean, that's what they're thinking. That's what they're thinking. And listen, here's the thing. That's exactly what happens in our life. All of us. You know, God starts moving our lives. God starts moving our church. God starts moving in ways. And all of a sudden we're thinking, you know what? You know, this is good. But you know that God's calling you to move forward and do something else. And guess what happens? All of a sudden you're thinking, yeah, but it's pretty good right now. It's pretty good right now. And so many times that's how we miss God's blessing. You know, I thought about that because I was also thinking about the Festival of Hope here coming up. And listen, I want to tell you something. I know it's hard, but and some of you hadn't been knowing much about it. But we've seen miracles of God already happening. We've seen miracles. Listen, you know, we started off, contacting Billy Graham Association. That's where I started. And everybody told me, so, Brother Chris, now, that's kind of crazy, really. I mean, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Because, listen, Billy Graham, they don't go nowhere. But if they come to Georgia, they go into Atlanta. If they come and go into the overseas, to the big cities, you know, don't waste your time. Well, sure enough, it looked like we was going to get them. And then, boom, I was wasting my time. You know, no, it really wasn't that. It was just things happen. But, you know, and then we brought in Rick Gage, who's a great guy and a great evangelist. And then we had some things happen. But guess what? God's still on the throne. God's still working. So I was talking to a friend of mine who's a pastor down in Florida, and he said, Brother Chris, have you heard this great young evangelist, Doug Elks? And I'm like, no. He said, man, this guy is awesome. He is powerful. He is a blessing. God's all over this guy. He said, in fact, I heard that the Billy Graham Association has brought him on to be the backup for both Will and Franklin, and he's already 27 years old, former college basketball player, preaching all over the world. Well, guess who just happens to have the right-hand man to Will and Franklin, because I got all the way through the bureaucracy. So I called him up, and he texts me back, and he said, Brother Chris, I can't talk, but I'm in the middle of the ocean, and I'll be glad to text. And so I text him. I said, just wanted to hear. I heard you might know this young guy named Doug Elks. Just wanted to know what you thought about him. He said, Brother, God is all over him. He is one of my already favorite preachers and teachers. Said, God has used him in mighty ways. He said, in fact, we have brought him on as the backup evangelist. He's traveling with us all over the world. In fact, we're heading to Japan, and he is on the plane with us right now. And I said, awesome. So can we get him for our Festival of Hope, our crusade? So then it got quiet. And in a minute it came back, and he said, well, Brother Franklin said before we left we had possibly something going on in New England, and I'll have to double check. When we get back, and we're going to be over here, and then we're going to go to Korea, and then, you know, we'll get back. And so some things happen. And so I said, great. And so things happen, and, you know, and then I'm thinking, okay, here we go again. Here we go again. But guess what? Get a phone call. We're going to let Doug Elks come preach in September. He remembered the date. We're going to let him come preach at the Festival of Hope. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen, that is a miracle. It's a miracle. They don't come to Monroe, Georgia. They don't even come to Athens, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? They're not coming. They are, you know, that's the way it is. But that's the movement of God and the way God is working. You know, everybody said, well, Chris, what's going to happen? We couldn't use the football field. We had to use this. We had another place, and I thought it was going to come through, and it fell through at the last moment. And somebody said, well, what are we going to do about parking? It's a good question. We're going to be running buses and trucks and vans and go-karts and whatever all over the place. But then, let's see, last week or so, no, week before, Jim Brown, some of y'all know him. He's got land over there right beside the fairground. He's got about 20-something acres. Guess what? He's going to let us use that pasture for parking. Praise the Lord. That's God. That's seeing him at work, isn't it? Listen, God's moving. God is moving. But here's what God spoke to me about. Here's what it was. There's going to be people that are going to hear and know that it's only a God thing, because it's only a God thing. Listen, when you start bringing in folks like we're bringing in, you're bringing in Mac Powell. If you don't know who that name is, look him up. I can't say his band's name because I have a contractual agreement not to say his band's name, but you'll know who it is. When I say, when we bring in American Idol champions and the runners-up, we bring in Colton Dixon. Listen, it ain't easy getting these guys, you know? And let me tell you something, brother, you keep singing. I've been telling my preacher friends, I said, if y'all need a part-time job, get you a guitar and start practicing, brother. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying, but God is working. But listen, here's the thing. You can be part of it. But you can also not be part of it. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, here's the thing. You show up, you invite, you be part, you volunteer. Guess what? If we happen to have revival breakout, you get to be part. We happen to have 600 people get saved, you get to be part. You know, that's the thing. Listen, many years ago at Faith, we did a crusade. It was a long story. I'm not going to go into the whole story. But God opened the doors. We never dreamed it was open. We were still a smaller church. And so God made a way. Let me tell you what happened. Here's what happened. You know, in Monroe, February 1998, we had someone saved. We had 150 saved in. This was people we dealt with. We had a lot of folks raise their hand, but we had 150 we dealt with. There was people from every state in the Southeast, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina. Somebody got saved from every state. Now, y'all that's been from here, y'all know in 1997 and 8, nobody from people from Loganville didn't even want to come to Monroe, much less from all over. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell you what else, you know. First card I got was a lady visiting Monroe from Australia who accepted Christ as her Savior. Listen, it's amazing. How does that happen? Because God can. When we can't, God can. And I think about it because here as we look and think about it, in 2004, my son, this was 6 years later, goes, he's at Liberty, he's on a scholarship, he calls, he's an RA, he says, I'm standing out in line, there's a big concert going on, it's probably 6,000 people waiting to get into the concert hall, and he said, all of a sudden, I felt a tap on my shoulder, and he said, I turned around, there's an older man standing there. He said, did I hear you guys say you're from Monroe, Georgia? Dan said, no, these guys from all over the United States. He said, I'm from Monroe. He said, are you from there? He said, no. Dan said, he said it very short. He said, you got relatives there? He said, no. And Dan said, okay, you know, my son's Dan. He said, but I've been there. I'm going to tell you how. He said, yeah. He said, I owned a business in Denver, Colorado. He said, I had an appointment in Atlanta, Georgia on Thursday morning. He said, I flew into Atlanta, Hartsfield Airport. He said, I was as far away from God as a man can possibly be and still be alive. He said, I walked out, I get in my rental car, I cranked it up, and some idiot, I won't ever forget that, some idiot had left the radio station on a Christian radio station. He said, when it came on, he said, all of a sudden, the guy said, new song is in concert in Monroe, Georgia, and it's free. And I thought, I've always wanted to see them. He said, when I was younger, even though I'd never been in church, he said, when I was younger, I'd heard them somewhere and I thought the music was cool. And he said, new song, concert. And he thought, I ain't going to no stupid church. So then I sat there a minute and thought, well, I ain't got nothing to do and it's free. He said, then I thought, what if somebody from Denver finds out I went to church? He said, then I thought, well, ain't nobody from Denver going to know. I looked at the map, tall, turned the car, headed out to the middle of nowhere. That's what he said. I got there, then I had to push my way into stupid church, which was true. He said, but then God got a hold of my heart. He said, I accepted Christ as my Savior. He said, talk to my wife. We'd never been in church. We went started going to church. She accepted Christ as her Savior. We was growing in the Lord. Then all of a sudden, God called me to preach. And he said, I'm up here this weekend taking a class on how to be a better pastor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a miracle a guy from Denver came to Monroe. It's another miracle, according to him, that God saved him. It's another miracle that the Lord's calling him to preach. It's another miracle that a guy from Monroe, Georgia meets a guy from Denver, Colorado in Lynchburg, Virginia with 6,000 people standing in line and just happened to talk. You know why it just happened to happen? Because God knew that this day right here was coming when I didn't know and you didn't know, and he knew we needed to share the story. Amen? God's good. And ladies and gentlemen, here we are, and that's exactly where these people are. They have seen God working. This is 40 years later, and all of a sudden, this next generation has got to make a decision. You know, why did they fail before? They didn't believe God enough to obey God. They got settled where they were at. They didn't believe God had something better. But now 40 years have passed, and these same people, just like us, they got to decide some things in their life. You know what they had to decide? They got to decide. They got to decide how big their God is. They got to decide if they believe that their God is truly honest. They got to decide what they're going to do if they really believe that God is God. And then they got to make a decision what they're going to do. Listen to what God says in verse 7. Because ladies and gentlemen, every single one of us have to make that decision in our life. How big is God? Do you believe he's honest? Can you trust him? You know? And are you going to do what he called you to do if he really is God? This is what God says, verse 7. He says, hey, Joshua, it's not exactly right. He said, it ain't going to be easy. That's the Southern Chris Connor Revised Version, didn't it? Why did he say that? Look what he says. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or left, that you may prosper wherever you go. God said, I'm going to prosper you wherever you go. If you'll follow me, if you'll trust me, you'll see what's going on in our life. He said, but you got to have courage. You got to be strong. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God gave them a plan. God showed them a purpose. God had given his word. And ladies and gentlemen, every single one of us, God has given us his word. He's got a purpose for our life. And he's got good things ahead for us. And the thing is, are we willing to step out on faith and experience what God really has for us? You see, here's the thing. The ingredient that was missing in our lives today is some of the same ingredients that are missing from their lives that keeps us from experiencing the victory that Christ has, that keeps us from experiencing being better together as a group of Christian people and as a church. You know, again, it just took 10 people to talk a million people out of doing what God wanted them to do. What kept them from experiencing that victory? God said, listen, I got something I want to give y'all. I've got a possession for you to possess. I got victory that you can have. In fact, everything's going to be yours. I've already taken care of it. What do they have to do? The same thing we have to do. Walk in obedience. Trust the Lord. See, so many people say, well, the Bible is a rule book. Listen, the Bible is a love letter. God's got a plan, and he wants to keep you from messing up your life and others' lives. And it's a love letter that he has. And so he says, you know, I think about it because it's so important. The faith is the main ingredient was missing in their life. They didn't have enough faith to believe God could do something better than they were part of right then. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what's missing in our life when we don't have victory in our life. That faith. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. That's what the Lord says. How important is faith in Jesus and the faith in God in the Bible? Listen, in the New Testament, 240 plus times, God talks about faith. 240 times. God's a good teacher. He's a good teacher, and so he repeats stuff over and over so we'll catch it. And when God repeats something 240 times, he wants you and me to understand there's going to be faith if we're going to walk in victory. There's going to be faith in our lives if we're going to trust God. Because life don't go all the way like we want it, does it, brother? It ain't always like we plan it. And we got to trust the Lord. You know, in fact, as you look in the Bible, one of the things you got to realize is that there's several things that Christians are called. First, they were called followers of the way and all that. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, you know what they're called? Believers. Believers. Because they were believing the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in faith. Believing the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you know what it is? It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of stepping out, trusting the fact that Jesus Christ came. He loved you enough. God sent him to die on the cross to pay the price for your sin, to be buried in a tomb, to be resurrected from the grave. And the Bible says that all of us can become children of God if we're willing to trust Jesus and his salvation through him. It's faith. It's faith, isn't it? But you know what happens? Sometimes we think once we get saved, well, that's all the time we got to have faith. You know, well, the same faith that saved us is a faith that carries us day to day. You know, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the righteous will live by faith. You know, it says we have faith from first to last. And when it talks about it in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. The Christian life is a life of faith. We're saved by faith. We're kept by faith. We walk by faith. We endure by faith. We rejoice by faith. We serve by faith. We love by faith. We sacrifice by faith. We pray by faith. We worship by faith, and we obey by faith. And listen, it's not just our Christian life. Think about it. A lot of life's faith, isn't it? None of us here today are promised tomorrow, are we? We don't know what's coming. You know? Think about it. You get married by faith. Amen? Got married by faith. 56 years, right? You got married 56 years ago. We got married by faith. We have children by faith. Everything we do is by faith. And the reason the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, they didn't have faith in God to believe that He could do better than they could themselves. And ladies and gentlemen, are you believing God can do more for you than you think you can for yourself? He can. He can. He can do more for you. He can do more for your church. He can do more. Faith is certainly the condition of justification. That means just as if I'm never sinned. That's what the Bible talks about, justification. It's the way we receive everlasting life. It's the means of access to God. You know, it's the key to answer prayer. Because why? God is entirely faithful. It's the victory that overcomes the world. You know, it's the title deed to all that God is praying. Listen. You're going to have trials here. You're going to have struggles here. There's going to be things you don't understand in your life. But here's the thing. Through faith in Jesus Christ, here's what I do know. There's a better day coming. There's a greater place coming. And those of us who know Jesus Christ, ultimately, we're not ever going to be disappointed. Because eternally, if we put Him first, He's going to take us through. And He's going to be with us as we go along. Look what He said, verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given you. What is He saying? He's saying, listen, the victory yours. It's already yours. Just go take it. Possess the possessions. And that's what the Lord says to us. Trust me. Walk with me. Follow me. I got better. Take up the possessions you already have. But listen, here's the thing you got to remember. The thief, as Jesus said, doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus says it's already yours. I want you to have more abundant life. I want you to walk in victory as you go along. But remember, Satan is going to try to stop you. He do. But can God do what God wants to do? He can. He can. God gave him water from a rock. It was God's power when Jericho fell. It was God's power when David slew Goliath. It was God's power when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fiery furnace. It was God's power when Peter walked on the water. It was God's power when 5,000 were fed with just a couple of loaves and some bread. It was God's power when the lame was healed and the blind was seen and the deaf could hear. It was God's power when they crucified Jesus and He paid for our sins. And it was God's power when He rose from the grave. And it was God's power when I got saved, and it was God's power when you got saved. Amen? Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. I don't know where you're at today, but God can restore the unrestorable. He can save the people who think they're unsavable. He can do the unthinkable. He can supply the unsupplyable. The victory is available, but you got to be willing by faith to trust God and trust Jesus Christ as you go along. Because God wants to do bigger and better than you ever dreamed in your life. That's what He wants. He didn't call you to partial victory. He called you to total victory. And you know, if you're barely here today and you're just getting by, struggling with sin, addiction, you're stuck in some kind of spiritual survival mode, you're just going through the motions, you know. Listen, He wants you to be decisively victorious, you know. So what is faith? It's the substance. Hebrews chapter 11 says the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance, that's that title deed. That's what it was used for in the day. Title deed to a piece of property. That's how they used it back in the day as it was written in Hebrew, and they knew about it. You know, what is that? It's the confident assurance that what we hope for in Jesus is going to come to pass. It's the confident assurance. We know what evidence is. You know, all of you watched them courtroom shows if you hadn't been in the courtroom, right? So you know what evidence is. Things we can't always see. We can't always see it's going to happen. By faith, we see what might otherwise be invisible. Charles Wesley said it this way, faith, mighty faith, the promises see, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it shall be done. You know, it goes on, Martin Luther said, faith sees the invisible, he believes the incredible, he receives the impossible, he accepts the impossible, does without the indispensable, and bears the intolerable. He moves forward in his life. That's what it takes. He wants us to know how much He loves us. He wants us to know that we can trust Him. He wants us to lead us into victorious life and victorious living. And He is the one and the only one that truly can do it. And listen, You know, Thomas Stearns Eliot said, the greatest proof of Christianity for others is not how far a man can logically analyze his reasons for believing, but how far in practice he'll stake his life on his belief. See, are you willing to really stake it? Nail it down and trust God. Manly Beasley said, genuine faith is not just a mental assent or an emotional spirit. Saving faith and living faith is an inward response to a truth that's been revealed to the heart by the Holy Spirit, who quickens and makes our spirits alive. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Think about it when you first got saved. The Holy Spirit began dealing with your heart, and you realized you were a sinner. You realized you needed a Savior. And when you called on Jesus, God had granted that ability for you to exercise that faith in proportion to the amount of light you'd receive from hearing the Word of God. You know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word of God. And so that's the way we started. And as we walk through our life, it's the same way. John chapter 1, 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. If you're willing to believe his word, if you're willing to receive his word, if you're willing to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he'll forgive your sins. He washes away through the power of the blood. And the Bible says that God gives you the right to become a child of God. But then what he says, you got to be strong and have good courage. Because Satan, the world, even good folks, going to try to talk you out of it. They're going to try to talk you out of it. You know, when God called me to be a full-time pastor, I was already kind of filling in and part-time, and I was basically preaching every week. But, you know, I was only about 14 months away from retirement at Gwinnett County at the time, and full retirement. And so I had good men. I had preachers who called me up and tried to talk me out of it. They were like, brother, you know, 14 months ain't that long, blah, blah, blah. I had some say, brother, it sure is easier to be bivocational. I don't think that's true. It's easy to be bivocational because then you don't have to depend. You know, if something happens, you know, I think they were saying, I don't think you're going to make it. I don't think that meant. But listen, they were good men. But ladies and gentlemen, that ain't where God called me to be. You know, God called me to trust him. Listen, if he was going to trust him for my, I'd trusted him up to that time. I'd seen him work in my life. I'd seen how he provided. If he provided before, he can provide again. He can provide for me every day. He can provide when I come to retirement. Amen? Amen. God can take care of us. That don't mean be stupid. You know? I mean, you know, the Bible says the ant, he stores up, don't he? He stores up. So I'm not saying be stupid. But if God's calling you to do something and you know it's God, step out and do what God's calling you to do. Amen? That's where he's at. Faith is belief plus unbelief and acting on the belief part. You know, so see, you say, well, you know, the acting on that unbelief, that's the tough part. It is. You know, God responds to those who partly believe and partly doubt. You think about Noah. He's building the ark. I ain't never seen no rain. He didn't know what was going on. He's out there. Listen, everybody around him saying, have you seen that idiot and his family out there? They say they're building a boat, an ark. For what? For what? So he could live and have victory and have his family and God could use him in a mighty way. So God could bless him as only God can. That's why. That's why it really happened. You know? But see, you got to have a little bit of holy discontent sometimes to realize God's got something better for you. You got to want some things that you don't have in order to have faith as you go along. You know, and I think about that. Listen, as long as we live in a world where cancer bracelets are worn, we need faith. As long as marriage is breaking up, we need faith. As long as we have children that pass away and our loved ones pass away, we got to have faith. You know, and the things hoped for are not going to be passing on. You see, faith believes what others don't believe. Faith sees what others don't see. Faith doesn't what others don't do. It's not passive. It moves us to act. It's a step. And say, well, you know, I can't see the end. Listen, if you're out in the middle of the nowhere, all right? Let's say you're up in the middle of the mountains somewhere and ain't nobody around and it's nighttime and it's dark and you ain't seen a car in half an hour and you riding through there and all of a sudden your car breaks down. What a blessing. But guess what? You got your phone. Praise the Lord. Oh, but guess what? There ain't no signal. Because you're in the mountains. But guess what? You got a flashlight. So you turn your flashlight on. Oh, man, it makes you feel better just having that light, don't it? But let me tell you something. How far will that flashlight shine? Will it shine 2 miles so you can see what's ahead? No, it's just going to shine a little way. You know what it's going to take care of? Step by step. That's the way it is walking with Jesus. Step by step. Trust in Him. Trust in Him as an individual. Trust Him as a church as you go along. Trust Him as you go along because it's not passive. A friend of mine defined faith as outrageous trust. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a conscious choice to believe. I guarantee you, Noah didn't feel good about building that ark. He just trusted. You know? He didn't feel good. And if Joshua had waited to feel like marching around Jericho, he still wouldn't have marched around it. Feelings are important, but they're not the basis of true faith. Faith acts even in the face of doubt and opposition. David didn't wait for Goliath to go blind. He trusted God and walked down the valley to face the giant. And someone said, you know, the faith is the belief plus unbelief and acting on that belief. And that's what the Lord tells us to do. Trust Him. You know, trust Him. Because Philip Yancey said it this way, faith means believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Biblical faith is not just faith in faith. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith in God's Word. It's faith as we go along. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had people tell me before, if I was to step out in faith, God might ask me to do something I can't do. If you decide to follow Jesus, He'll ask you to do the impossible. And then He'll help you do it. He'll give you wisdom as you take that next step. Just take that next step God puts in front of you. Next step God puts in front of you. Bible says, by faith Noah, it was the next step. By faith Abraham, it was the next step. By faith Moses is always the next step. You could say by faith, and we could call our names. Because, listen, if we knew everything was going to come our way in the next 10 years, it might scare us to death, mightn't it? We don't ever know. But every day and every hour, we can live in the power of God and live in His name. You know, here's why. In the past, I know. And some of you, if you'll stop and think, in the past, you know He took your hand, even when it was tough. You know, in the present, He'll guide you with His counsel through His Word. In the future, He'll take you into glory. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that God's going to do something mighty in this community through the Festival of Hope. Don't miss it like the children of Israel did. Be part. So you can say one day what you are part of God doing. Amen. Do what God's calling you to do. You say, well, how do you know, Chris? Well, you know, I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sin sick, make it white like the snow. But I know a man who can. Some call Him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call Him Jesus, for He's my closest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. I can't walk upon the waters or calm the raging stormy sea, but I know a man who can. I can cause blind eyes to open or make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him as a Savior? Do you know that He can do things greater and better than you ever dreamed? Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to trust Him? Today, he wants you to trust him. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we're going to do an invitation song. You can come and we'll take the Word of God and show you today how to be saved. And then today, if you maybe just struggling with some things in your life, listen, there's people here that care about you. There's people here that love you. Why don't you come and pray? There'll be people to come pray with you. You ain't got to tell them nothing if you don't want to. If you want to share your prayer requests, it's okay. But come and give it to the Lord. Give it to the burden to the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your grace and your goodness, God. I just pray your Holy Spirit will continue to move mightily in this place, Father. I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know your Son Jesus, Lord, as their Savior. I didn't mean if they had ever been baptized. I didn't mean that, Lord. I meant if they've never truly trusted you. I pray that today will be the day that they'll come and call on you and ask you to be their Lord and Savior and trust you for their salvation. God, I pray that if there's somebody here burdened and struggling, Lord, that today will be the day they'll give you their burdens. And, Lord, knowing that you're going to hold to their hand, Lord. And, Lord, that you can do things we can't do. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.